We love you, and we know that God loves you even more. And we praise God that he's very much part of your journey. And this is what we're talking about this morning, our journey. Our journey with the Lord. We're not promised an easy journey, but we're promised that Jesus will be with us. And this story is very much about welcoming Jesus and remembering to keep him as part of our lives. So Mary and Martha, let's get to the story of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Now they were close friends of Jesus and Jesus loved them deeply. There was a special relationship between these people. They lived in a town called Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So when we come into this part of the scripture that Lana read to us, we find that Jesus and his disciples, they'd been busy travelling around, sharing the word, and as they were passing through Bethany, Martha kindly invited Jesus and his entourage into her home. Now, often when I've read this story before, I haven't thought, well, actually, it wasn't just Jesus that came. It was him and his disciples and usually some women as well. So there was quite a few people that Martha so generously invited into her home. Now, if that had been me, I would have been extremely stressed. So here she is, very kindly inviting them into her home. This was very hospitable and very generous of her. Now, Martha was the eldest of the family. She was the head of this sibling household. And in Jesus' day, it was quite rare for a woman to manage her own affairs as the head of a household, and especially to invite an important man into her home. So here she was doing something. She was going out of her comfort zone. She was doing something unusual because she loved Jesus. He was a great friend, and she really wanted to make him feel welcome. She wanted to look after him and his disciples. She knew they'd been busy. She knew he had a great message to share, so here she was saying, come to my house. As the older sister, Martha took the responsibility of serving and making preparations for Jesus and his followers. When I think about it, you know, she was quite a remarkable woman and she deserves considerable credit. She wanted to make sure that everything was in order for her guests, because in serving in this way, she was showing her love and devotion for Jesus. But in doing all this, she allowed her busyness to distract her from the opportunity to really connect with Jesus. As the hostess, when someone comes to your house, you're expected to engage with the people, aren't you? But in her effort to serve everyone, she was so distracted and so busy with other things that she missed out on intimate time with Jesus. And she also became quite annoyed at Mary, who was not helping her. Because after all, wasn't that Mary's role as the younger sister and as a woman to help with the meal preparation and serving the guests? I'm not sure if you know, but some of you will, that quite a number of years ago, I married into an Italian family. It was quite different for me being in an Italian environment, being from a very opposite environment to that. I often say that my mother and my mother-in-law were poles apart. And it was very interesting. When we would visit my Italian-born mother-in-law, she would go to so much trouble to feed us. You know what it's like? Just, oh, you've got to have more, you've got to have more, you've got to have more, and keep feeding us. So one course would follow another. Here she was, up and down from the table, making sure that everything was just right, especially if I was there. I would offer to help, but usually I'd only be given trivial things to do. Oh, yes, Glenda, you know, just take the bread and put it on the table. Okay. And then, of course, at the end of this beautiful food, there was a massive pile of dishes, which, once again, I was told to leave. No, don't touch them. I'll do them when you're gone. Now, yeah, if you're me, that makes me feel a bit funny. So here she was rushing around and everything was going on around me and I just felt like saying, for goodness sake, will you just sit down? But, well, finally, when she did sit down in her chair, guess what she'd do? Drift off to sleep. So we went to spend time with her, to engage in conversation with her, so that she could spend time playing with her grandkids. But instead, we had to deal with a flustered, distracted, and tired hostess. So I kind of, this whole situation that we read about with Jesus and Martha. See, Martha's service wasn't wrong. And sometimes we forget that. Her service wasn't wrong. And her intentions to generally care for others in this way were admirable, just as my mother-in-law's were. She wanted to care for us. She wanted to show us that she loved us. But like Martha, she allowed her busyness to distract her from the opportunity to connect with us, and Martha allowed her busyness to distract her from the opportunity to learn more from Jesus. When I thought about this message this morning, I thought, who's this message for? Is it for me? I think so. Often it is. We can be so busy in our work for the Lord, in our service for Him, that time spent in His presence and in His Word can diminish drastically. As a church, we can give so much attention to making sure the music is just right, the service is well planned, the morning tea is prepared, that we forget that Jesus is in this house. That's why we're here, isn't it? Jesus is here. We're here to make a connection with Him. And that makes it really special. Sometimes we can become slightly annoyed by the fact that the kids are playing and talking throughout the service. Or we can be distracted by the fact that there's no flowers anymore at the front of the church. There's no plants. Things aren't perfect, but we can become so distracted by all those things that we forget to see what we have. We forget to see what's precious and right in front of us. Jesus. Distracted people, distracted churches, distracted. We need to make sure to balance our activities and responsibilities with many moments of reflection, contemplation, and spiritual growth. Connecting with Jesus, spending time with Him, listening to His words, learning from Him is the most valuable thing that we can do. Agree? The most valuable thing we can do is to spend time with Jesus. It's not an easy thing for some of us. For some of us, it's not easy for some of us to take time out to reflect and to rest. Sometimes our busyness can be a distraction from ourselves and the difficulties we're experiencing. Sometimes our busyness defines us. But Jesus knows and loves us better than anyone. He understands us. But He gently calls us to come aside and rest in Him. For me, this needs to be an intentional thing. It doesn't come naturally to me. I need to intentionally bring myself aside to rest in Jesus. And you know, I think for Martha and for many of us, we need to schedule this intentional time with Jesus into our lives. The beautiful thing about all of this story is that Jesus didn't rebuke Martha for her words. He accepted Martha in her flusteredness. He accepted Martha right where she was and spoke to her very gently. He listened to the tirade, to the dummy spit, if you like, without batting an eye. But he did encourage a flustered, busy, overwhelmed Martha to prioritise the one thing necessary, finding rest and peace in his presence. In a world filled with busyness, stress, and distractions, Jesus calls us to find solace and rejuvenation in resting in him. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
The text on the Salvation Army wall in Alice Springs. Be still and know that I am God. And as I sit here and as I speak to you, God is convicting me and reminding me that for many years my friend has said to me, Glenda, you need to take notice of that verse. The very first thing I walked, when I walked into the church in Alice Springs many years ago when we moved there, I was broken, I was burnt out, and on the wall was that text, be still and know that I am God. Yep. And God's still saying that to me, and my friend keeps reminding me, have you taken notice of that verse yet? That my friend who's coming in a few weeks, and I'm sure she'll say it to me again. So be still and know that I am God. Let us take time to be still, to seek his presence, and to find the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because in the stillness, we encounter the loving embrace of our Saviour, who longs to fill us with his peace and his strength. Amen.
Amen.
In this scenario, in this scene that we've read, we again see Martha taking the initiative in going to Jesus. So she's the one who rushes out to meet Jesus. And she approaches him in a straightforward and honest manner, as she did in the last time we saw her, expressing her belief that if he'd only been there earlier, her brother would not have died. She was clearly grieving. And once again, she was being very open in expressing her thoughts and feelings. But you know, this demonstrates a real authenticity and a transparency in her. And I think that's a great example to us. To be authentic with Jesus. He doesn't want us to come pretending. He wants us to be just as we are.
Well, he can see
through
us anyway.
That's exactly right. Although Martha was clearly grieving the death of her brother, her faith in Jesus was unwavering. She showed her radical commitment to Jesus even in the face of her deep grief. Because Martha was a woman of deep conviction. While many others failed to see Jesus for who he was, she believed. Oh, that we would have faith. Like Martha. Like all of us, she had her failings. She still had lots to learn, lots more to understand. But she trusted Jesus. She knew who he was, confidently declaring, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of God, who has come into the world for us." Because of this knowing in her heart, she could come boldly and confidently to Jesus because she knew that Jesus loved her. He was her personal friend and way, way more. Do you know Jesus like this?
I hope so.
It's true that Martha did not completely understand everything that Jesus said. We can see that because she's the one who says, but you can't come... go in there now. It's been 4 days. She didn't quite get the whole thing that Jesus was going to bring Lazarus back to life again. So she didn't understand everything. She had a lot to learn. And it's true that she was a little pragmatic, a little hard-nosed, if you like. But she didn't shy away from correction. Martha took the gentle discipline of Jesus head-on and embraced it. You know, we all have different strengths. We all have different character traits. We all show emotion very differently, and we handle situations differently. But Jesus welcomes us all and interacts with each of us just where we are at. Hear the words of Jesus spoken to Martha. Hear them today. I am the resurrection. And I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die.
Amen.
Amen. Have you declared, like Martha, that Jesus is your Saviour, the Holy Son of God? Have you declared that? And do you believe that you are going to live with him forever? Is this your hope?
Absolutely.
Is this your assurance?
Absolutely.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Isn't that what we've sung many times, that song? There are so many Christians that I meet that don't really believe that they're going to heaven. They have trouble with it because they think that they're striving. Do we get to heaven by striving?
No.
By being good?
No.
No. We get to heaven by believing in the one who is the resurrection and the life. And having faith. Like Martha, we won't be perfect. Yes, we deal with our own idiosyncrasies, if you like, our own personalities. We have to deal with them all the time. But Jesus knows us and loves us for who we are. He actually uses those personalities for him. I hope that you are assured today that you will live with him forever. You've already been judged and found not guilty because you have taken Jesus into your heart and believed in him. So I pray that that is your hope today and always. We're going to catch up with Mary and Martha again briefly as I read from John chapter 12. Verses 1 to 3. 6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair, and the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. In this passage we just read, we see Martha again doing what she does best, serving. I'm not sure she was whinging on this occasion. But here she was serving because she had a servant heart. She had a heart that just wanted to serve people, just wanted to help them and look after them. She had a real gift of hospitality as well, welcoming people into her home, once again welcoming them. This was her service to God. It was given from a very generous heart. And it was given to honour him. She obviously hadn't been distracted by what had happened at the last dinner party, because here she was hosting another one. It seems to me that Martha had a teachable heart, and that is something that we should very much try to cultivate, a teachable heart. So often, unfortunately, we take correction or constructive criticism as a personal insult, and sometimes we get offended by it. But we need to teach ourselves to cultivate that heart of being able to hear what's being said and to being able to learn from it, to accept correction, because learning from it is a skill that we all should develop. And also, learning how to offer advice in love is something we can learn from Jesus. So I'm very thankful this morning to have been able to look at Martha in a different light and to be blessed by her and her service and love for Jesus. And in this passage that we just read, this beautiful passage, where do we find Mary? At the feet of Jesus.
Where she belongs.
because there's no better place to be. It seems that Mary has a habit of being at the feet of Jesus. That's it. In our first reading, we see her sitting humbly at the feet of Jesus, listening intently to him, taking his life-giving words deep into her being. This was the posture of a disciple. Sitting at someone's feet, a rabbi's feet, listening to them, was a posture of a disciple. This was a place normally reserved for men. Women were not really afforded this privilege. But Jesus acknowledged that she had found the best place to be by allowing Mary to sit among his disciples right at his feet. Jesus demonstrated that his teaching was for everyone, man, woman, boy and child, boy and girl, everybody. While Martha stressed, trying to look after the needs of her many guests, Mary discovered the truth that sitting humbly with Jesus is a place of privilege and it is a place of intimate connection. A place of privilege and of intimate connection. It's a place of learning and a place of refreshment for all. Mary's position at Jesus' feet emphasizes her desire for a personal and deep relationship with him. It highlights the significance of building a personal relationship with Jesus and prioritizing that connection over all the demands and distractions of life.
Hallelujah.
It's a priority for us. That connection with Jesus right there at his feet, the most intimate connection.
Hallelujah.
In the second reading that we read, that Judy read, Mary fell at the feet of Jesus, didn't she? She came out to meet him and she fell at his feet. She was deeply grief-stricken and she was weeping. She was broken and disheartened. Oh, Lord, if only you'd been there sooner. Jesus is deeply moved by her show of emotion, by her brokenness. He's deeply moved by it. You know, when we feel crushed and discouraged, we can simply just fall at his feet in a broken heap. Do you know you can do that?
Yep.
I've done it many times.
Absolutely.
Because that's what he wants. He understands. He embraces us in that moment. What does the scripture say? He does. What does the scripture say that Judy read? He was so moved by emotion that tears flooded down his face. In our vulnerability, we are encouraged to openly and unashamedly engage with Jesus. He wants us to come in our moments of sorrow. He wants us to bring our pain, our questions, and our doubts to him. And he will stoop down to comfort us. He emphasizes with us. He weeps with us. And as Wendy said, he lifts us up. Bit by bit, piece by piece, little by little. In this final reading, this beautiful reading, Mary is paying such deep respect to Jesus as she anoints his feet with expensive perfume. She is expressing her deep affection and devotion for him. Mary's gesture of pouring expensive perfume on Jesus' feet was lavish and extravagant, but it reflects her willingness to give her best and to honour Jesus in a profound and sacrificial manner. Yes. In that cultural context, such an extravagant act was seen as unconventional and perhaps even wasteful. In fact, if you were to read on, you would hear the disciples say, you know, that could have been used for the poor. But that wasn't the point. The point was that Yes, she was preparing him for his what was to come, but she was also showing that deep sense of devotion to him and affection for him. She was radically dedicated to Jesus. She didn't care what others thought. That's one thing that came to me through this. You know, others are saying, you know, you shouldn't have done that, put all that expensive stuff on him, but she didn't care what others thought. She didn't care that she made this very intimate encounter with Jesus in front of other people. She didn't care. She just did it. It was such a special moment. Just thinking of washing his feet and wiping it with your hair, that is really commitment. It is really intimate. And it was done in front of others, unashamedly, because she simply wanted to honour her Lord. She simply wanted to honour Jesus. What does Jesus mean to you? Do others see or witness your absolute devotion to him? Or do you hide it? What difference would it make if you and I were prepared to do radical things for Jesus? What difference would it make? An amazing difference. There are many things to think of in these passages, many things to learn, many more things that I've spoken about. But today I just wanted to bring these two beautiful women to you, to honour them and to learn from them.